Hello everyone, welcome back, as I always say, to this latest edition of the Top Sales World Top Sales Hard Talk series. My name is Jonathan Farrington, I'm the CEO of Top Sales World. My guest today is Deb Calvert. Deb is the founder and president of People First Productivity Solutions, and she's also, of course, the author of the Discover Questions, Get You Connected. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm delighted to be here.
It's always good to have you, my dear. Now, you and I have had several conversations recently about what I believe is going to be a hot topic in the coming months. And that's actually looking at the what we used to call the sales cycle. I hope fervently that most people now regard it equally as the buying cycle. And we feel that more and more organisations and companies and sales individuals are placing a greater focus on the buyer and trying to look at the whole cycle from the buyer's perspective rather than taking this myopic and one-sided view. And I know that you've got some very firm ideas about this. For example, we do need, do we not, to dispel the myths about the negative perceptions about asking questions. In other words, you know, we both read a lot recently that maybe questioning skills are no longer needed. And you know, I not only find that frivolous, I find it astounding. Share with us your thoughts, Deb.
I think it is a shame. And what's driving this negative perception about questions, in my opinion, would be two things. The first is sellers mistakenly believe that questions will take too much time or that they will lose control. So those two things, that the fear of losing control or the fear of taking too much of their own time or of their buyer's time, causes them instead to race ahead and to begin making product pitches or to make assumptions about what it is the buyer needs to or wants to hear. And sellers are alienating themselves from buyers by jumping in at the wrong place, operating on limited information. So this negative perception, I think it's also fueled, not only those fears are in place, but then it gets fueled by so many bad questions that are out there, and it's perpetuating. One bad question leads to more seller fear, leads to more bad questions because sellers aren't taking time to think first before asking questions. And it's such an unnecessary way of looking at something that's actually of high value to buyers.
Yes. you see, my view is that I don't understand how a selling company can possibly frame a proposal that matches the prospect or the buyer's needs perfectly without getting all the right information at the front end. And I'm amazed that people suggest that buyers don't want to ask questions. They want to give information, don't they?
Buyers adore questions that are well asked and that sellers hear the answers to. So it's a two-part equation. You know, it's interesting that you say, how can a seller put together a proposal if they don't know? But sometimes what's even more tragic is that a seller does know. They might ask a question like what I call an outcome question in the Discover acronym. The O stands for outcome. And so they might say, what do you hope to achieve? Then the buyer tells them, and the seller at some point responds with a proposal that leaves out what the buyer has said. That it's right there in the palm of their hands, and they don't thread it all together.
Yeah. I mean, why are some questions more effective than others? I mean, is it because too many sellers go in with a standard set of questions rather than individualizing them?
That is part of the problem. Canned questions, the ones that are scripted, cause the seller to focus on the list of questions.
Yeah.
When you focus on anything that's robotic or pre-planned, you aren't engaging. The whole point of asking questions in any relationship is to engage and bond with, connect with someone else. And that's true for sellers and buyers. You can't do that when you're going down the list that's on a piece of paper instead of letting natural curiosity and what the buyer says as a response to one question lead to the response to the next. So I do think that you're onto something there. That is one of the biggest problems.
I mean, almost, you could almost say, couldn't you not, Debs, that it's a question of personality, isn't it? I mean, rather than viewing it as a question and answer session, shouldn't it be a relaxed conversation?
That's the ideal. And that's when buyers really think of a seller as being different from all the other sellers. The misperceptions that buyers have and the reasons that they might think that they have a negative point of view about questions is because so many stereotypical sellers ask five kinds of questions, and all five of them are meant to do something to the buyer instead of engaging with the buyer. So those five types, they are things like if I could just show you how to, those kinds of questions. Oh. Buyers hate them.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes. The second type are the questions that have very obvious answers, whether they're posed as a wouldn't you agree or their don't you want to save 50% by signing up today. Those questions with obvious answers that back people up into a corner are uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. No, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
However, what I would say, Deb, and if you agree with this, as a sales manager, when my salesman or saleswoman gets back to the office after an important exploratory meeting, there are certain answers that I would want from them in order to justify why they've had that meeting. Yeah. I'll give you some examples. I would want to know whether or not there was a budget and if it had been approved. Because if there isn't and there wasn't and there isn't going to be, then, you know, why are you wasting time on it? Another question as a sales manager I always want to know is the timescales. I mean, if this is a project that's 3 to 5 years out, then, you know, we've got to be realistic. I would want to try and determine whether or not we were being used as what I call quote fodder. I don't know if you've heard that expression before, but in other words, they'd already chosen their supplier, but company sort of rules and regulations dictate they must have at least 5 proposals on the table. And so if you discovered that there were an awful lot of people bidding for it, you would be concerned. If, for example, your salesperson came back and they didn't know who the competition was, I mean, surely you've got to know who the competition are or going to be so that you can, you know, frame your approach accordingly. I mean, would you agree with that?
I would agree, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And a seller should want to know those things too.
Yes.
It shouldn't just be the sales manager holding that over their head.
Yeah.
But there are two ways, at least, to come into a conversation and leave with this information. The first is to do the interrogation, and it'll be a quick conversation. I have my list. I must know budget. So I ask you, what's your budget? Are you the decision maker? Has this been approved? What's your time frame for getting started?
Yeah.
Who else are you talking to? Who's my competition?
Yeah.
And pretty soon the buyer feels that this is all about you and whether or not you're going to make the sale. That's not helpful or useful, and there's no value to the buyer in answering those questions.
Yes, it's very interesting, you know, that since I first began consulting, the one question that my students have always told me that they find most difficult to ask is, what is your budget? In other words, how much can you afford? They've always had that difficulty, and I've you say why, and of course you finally coach it through, and it's absolutely fine, and they get it right, and they understand it completely. Is that something you found?
I have. I've made that same observation. I've heard that from many sellers, but I've also heard it from buyers. There are times when they react strongly and negatively to that question, and times when they're happy to answer, and it's the most natural thing. And what makes the biggest difference in the success of that question is where it is sequenced in the conversation. It is not the opening question.
Yeah, absolutely.
It might be the thing the seller wants to know most of all,
yeah.
But they need to hang on and get some other information first and build the value before they begin talking about the terms and getting a little closer to making the sale.
Yeah, and I think if the meeting is relaxed, and I think, you know, both buyer and seller respect each other, the buyer expects to have to give that information because he knows that the seller isn't going to waste his or her time preparing a proposal or even a quotation if the solution is going to be outside what the seller can possibly afford. And the other question that sellers find difficult is actually discovering the status of the person with whom they're having a meeting with. So in other words, are they really a decision maker? Are they actually in the decision-making unit? Or are they going to have to go away and sell the solution upwards on the seller's behalf? And they say, typically sellers say they find it very difficult to ask that information. I say, actually, it's very easy because the way I present that question is, apart from yourself, who else is going to be involved in making that decision? Because that gives...
Absolutely, because whomever you're...
Yeah, because that gives the buyer the opportunity to say, well, actually, I'm not the person making the decision. And it's such an important question. I mean, off the top of your head, Debs, I mean, give us another couple of examples of absolutely crucial questions.
Okay, well, let me start with what you just said. This is, you're talking about the R in Discover acronym, the rationale questions, yeah, are all related to how will this decision be made? Who else needs to be involved? Yeah. Tell me your top criteria for making this decision once you compare all of your options.
Yeah.
I want to understand everything that's going into the decision so that I can frame my proposal to be exactly what the buyer's looking for. And oftentimes with those questions, I'm helping the buyer figure out and clarify for themselves what it is that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a critical kind of question. One that we haven't talked about that is something I always ask about before budget is a VIA value question.
Mm-hmm.
It's missed way too often by sellers to understand what is it that matters most, the urgency, the priority for the buyer, because that's ultimately what is going to emotionally drive the sale. And not only emotionally, but help them to justify it. And when the value is high, help them to sell it across the organization if necessary and to stay firmly committed to it over time. I got to tap into what matters more than just the budget, more than just we want to have XYZ product. Why do you want it? What does it mean to you? How important is that to you right now? And understanding all of those and asking questions like that help the buyer sell themselves.
Yes, I agree. And here we're moving almost into psychographics. I call them psychographics. I'm sure you've heard this expression. I like to know when I'm talking to a seller the type of company that they like to do business with. So in other words, do tell me, Mr. Seller, when you make your final decision, apart from, you know, what's your main criteria for making the decision, which gives them the chance to say, well, I'm, you know, we're going to go with lowest price. I mean, they never do, but you've given them that opportunity. So what are you looking for in the company that you're going to do business with? Because that's quite revealing too. You know, if they say, for example, well, it's very important for us to be to do business with a company that's been around a long time, or, you know, it's very important for us to do business with a company that's innovative or has got a great technical support record. That can be a very, very revealing question, can't it?
It can. And if you don't know what's of value, this is a lesson I had to learn the hard way. I was making a proposal to a newspaper company. I've been in the newspaper industry my entire career, and front and center, I gave them many testimonials about work I'd done with other newspapers, spoke heavily about what I could do for newspapers, and having not asked that question, only when it was too late did I understand that they wanted to bring in ideas from outside the newspaper industry, which I also had. I've worked in other industries, and I failed to bring them what they were looking for. Missed opportunity, and a lesson I will never forget.
I the other day I read something that you'd written, I'd like you to share it with the listeners today. You wrote, why is it a Well, basically, you explain why it's a compliment of the highest order when the buyer says, that's a good question.
I hear that often, and I really like it. To me, that signifies just in that moment, in that one moment in time, that I have caused someone else to think and reflect, and currently, as they're thinking and reflecting, they're accessing something that either they've suppressed or forgotten or overlooked. And just because I asked that question, which is like creating value out of thin air with nothing else at my disposal, just that question alone and their thoughts bring us together and sets me apart as someone who took the time and invested that thought and cared enough to ask a question that was meaningful to them, that helped them to get over a hurdle or to at least acknowledge something that could be really important for them.
No, I think it's excellent. Absolutely excellent. Well, unfortunately, as you know, we're limited on time, but I don't want to let you go yet. Just share with us some of the things that you've been up to recently. I know you're about to go into second print with your book.
Yes, in fact, this week the second printing has launched, and what we've done is made some changes, not to the content, but to the way that it's presented. So, for example, there's a new quote on the back from Linda Richardson, which I'm very honored to have there about the book. There's a foreword inside by our very own Dr. Jonathan Farrington of Top Sales World.
He gets and, everywhere, that bloke.
Yes. And on the cover of the book now, I'm also very honored that there's a badge that acknowledges that this book was one of the finalists for 2013 Top Sales and Marketing Book of the Year. I want readers to know that because they may not have heard of me, and they might not know about the acronym Discover, but I'm really excited by what's going on with the reviews that are piling up on Amazon.com, with the way that sales are taking off, and most importantly, with the difference that understanding questions differently is making to sellers, and how people are coming back to me and saying, I get it, I'm doing it. This is making a difference. I'm connecting with customers, and they're responding really positively.
Sure, absolutely. And also, we should tell the listeners that you've very kindly agreed to become one of our feature writers for the very successful Top Sales World magazine.
Well, now that is something that I am very, very excited about, because the magazine, the quality of it does continue to go up and up and up every month. And to be able to be a part of that momentum and the huge audience that comes in to see the magazine, I'm delighted to be able to be writing now monthly about the buyer's perspective.
Well, we're absolutely delighted to have you. Now, before you go, do you want to share where the listeners can find you?
Absolutely. So on Amazon, this is the fastest way, on Amazon.com, discover questions, get you connected. But for your listeners, if any would like to have a signed, personalized, autographed copy, they can come to my website. The website is People First PS. That PS stands for Productivity Solutions. The words People First are spelled out, peoplefirstps.com. Drop down the store menu, look at the book section, and I'll have placed a special page there for listeners to this Hard Talk interview who want to take advantage of that discounted price and a personalized copy.
That's very generous of you, Deb. Thank you very much indeed. Well, it's been an absolute delight to have you in again, and you know that you're always welcome. And again, I'm really, really pleased that you're joining the featured author panel for the magazine, and for also for your generous contributions that continue to flow in for Top Sales World. So good luck to you with everything else that you're doing.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate being able to be here with you today.
Thanks very much, Deb. Okay, listeners, well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. You know, people that talk about questioning techniques and you know, a thing of the past, absolute rubbish. You can't do anything unless you ask questions, but they have to be the right questions. And I think Deb Calvert has proved why she's becoming recognised as one of the experts on this topic. But more importantly than that, what she is doing is taking up the mantle of becoming an expert in the field of, you know, the buyer's perspective. And I hope that in the coming months, and I do actually fervently believe this, that, you know, we are all going to be far more focused on looking at the whole cycle from the buyer's perspective and understanding what it means to, you know, to see us through their eyes. It's going to be absolutely crucial. It will be one of the key differentiators, you know, that's for certain. And I hope you're enjoying everything else that we're doing over at Top Sales World. Of course, we have launched the Top Sales World contest, where we are determined, I can tell you, to find the best salespeople on the planet, and we will do it. Also, look out for the Top Sales World Library that's going to be launching, I think, within the next 8 weeks. It's a place where you'll be able to go to find articles, tips, white papers, ebooks, audio recordings, videos, anything that you could possibly want on any topic that's likely to be relevant to you in a frontline sales role. So, you know, more news about that very soon. This is Jonathan Barrington. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.